Typically, my heroes don't wear capes. My heroes don't drive race cars and swing bats or dribble balls. My heroes don't do that. My heroes have stood the test of time. I mean, they didn't use enticing words of man's wisdom. They didn't even have PhD behind their name, and they don't have the doctoral level education. My heroes are those that rear back without any enticing words. I mean, you don't need a theology degree or a thesaurus or a speller dictionary sitting beside you to understand. They just rip back and rear and preach sin.
Amen.
I mean, to understand sin is sin, and it needs not to be sugar-coated. But you just, if something's rotten, it's rotten, right? You don't need to say this going through a molecular decomposition process where the tissues are breaking down. You say, what? No, it's rotten. And if something's rotten, put it in English where everybody can understand it. Sin's still sin. It don't need to be changed or redefined. So tonight I'll quickly tell you, I'm nobody's hero. I've had people come up to me, and I've even gone up to them. I go up to Brother Larry Adams all the time and say, Brother Larry, you're my hero. He'd say, boy, you need to aim higher. What's he doing? Brother Tim, what's he doing? He's deflecting praise. He's rolling that off of him, saying, give that to somebody else because I'm not worthy of your praise. And I would say tonight, I'll be honest with you, I've tried to serve you faithfully for 11 years. I've tried to be your pastor and tried to love on you and tried to mentor you and try to help your youngest. Do you realize my children in here under the age of 11, I'm the only pastor they've ever known? That's a Connor. That's an Elena. That's a Samuel. That's a Brooklyn. I'm the only pastor they've ever known. And Brother Tim, that scares me because I'm the only pastor they've ever known. And I know how they are. You don't believe that they're looking up to their pastor. You go back and look at how people looked up to Brother Jack Osper. Miss Cindy, our kids loved that man. They looked up to him like they thought Brother Jack walked on water. Now, he served the one that walked on water, but he didn't himself walk on water. He just loved people. Brother Dean Rector, what a hero of the faith that he was. But listen, I'm nobody's hero. I probably line up more with being your zero than your hero. But I'll tell you this, when I'm weak, he is strong. When I mess up, bless God, he's still perfect. Whenever I'm flawed in character or flawed in speech or whatever, bless God, he's perfect. In every wit and every fashion, he is just what he is. When I'm fragile and I feel like I'm coming apart at the seam, Brother Varun, guess what? He's still fitly framed together. The word's still perfect. He's still in control. So tonight, I want you to think about the man of God in your life. Moses is who we're talking about. We'll preach it about Moses rather than about me. But I want you to understand something. Moses was not perfect. Moses had a speech impediment. Moses didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And I didn't even realize that the kids were going to sing. Miss Cindy, one of my kids. I didn't even realize the kids were going to sing until they coming up the road. Miss Cindy said, we need to be there a little bit early. I said, well, I got the deacons meeting. She said, no, a little bit earlier than that because Miss Macy's wanting me to maybe back her up in a song. And I said, okay, well, really didn't even know exactly what they were going to sing. And then there they are singing about keep me in your will. That should be the heart's desire of every one of us in here, to be right dead center, right smack dab in the will of God. Don't get too far ahead of him. Don't get too far behind him. But walk lock, stock, and hand in hand with the one that called you into whatever it is. And if he's not called you yet, sit there. But bless God, if he is calling you into a work, you need to go ahead and step into that work and do it. I've watched you, Brother Chris, from the night that you met me at the McDonald's parking lot. So many years ago, Brother Chris called me up. He was a squalling and a bawling. He was a big muddle of mess. And he'd been to revival over at Hey Meadow Baptist Church. Brother Larry Key was preaching the message over there that revival that week, and Brother Chris decided to go to that revival. And what I didn't know at the time was this, that Brother Chris was dealing with the call to a higher calling, and that being that of a preacher. And he calls me up and says, Preacher, I gotta talk to you. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I didn't know what Chris has got going on in his life, but he said, can you meet me? And I said, sure, where you'll meet? He says, meet me at McDonald's in the parking lot. So we just sit out there in an old blue Mustang and let him pour his heart out. But Brother Chris, you've stepped into that calling and done it well. You preached this morning. You preached Wednesday night. You preached last Sunday. You're preaching. God's using him. And I want to be used of God. I want to be in his will. But there's going to be times that I'm low. But when I'm low, he's still high. He's still high and lifted up. And we should see him as that. I'm a needy creature. I'm a needy preacher. I'm a needy person. But if you say, well, I'm above that, then bless God, you live closer to him than I do. I need him. Brother Steve, I needed that vacation I just got. But when I come back, you know what? You say, yeah, you're all fired up, ready to go. I still need him.
Amen.
that was for the body. That getaway was for the body. It helped me kind of to relax and unwind a little bit. But tonight I want y'all to understand something. This message has a purpose. I don't know what that purpose is going to be. But when, just understand this. When a pastor is down, everybody's down. Have y'all noticed that? When a pastor's gone, was it different Wednesday night? Raise your hand. Was it just a little bit different? Yeah. Not because the pastor's gone, because I took your piano player with me, right? Let's be honest. Let's keep it real. But it's different when the pastor's not here. It's different when my pastor was gone. It's different when your pastor's not here. But listen, every service doesn't revolve around your pastor. But the pastor has a big role in a church house. And I understand that role. And that's why I'm trying my best to serve you honorably, upright of heart. I don't want to do anything that will bring a discredit to my people. So tonight I want this to be a kind of a plea to you guys. The purpose of the message, I guess, would be to get you to pray harder for me. If it has a purpose at all, it'd be for you as individuals and then as a church to come together and look toward the position of the pastor and say, Lord, we need to help that man. We need to pray for him and lift him up. This has got nothing to do with money. It's got nothing to do with anything other than lifting up the man of God and holding up the man of God, propping up the man of God with your prayers, with your faithfulness, with your devotion, with your attendance. Brother Justin come to me and said, we had a Bible school meeting, preacher. I said, good job, Justin. That sounds great. Yeah, with the choir loft had people in it. You know what the sad story was? We still need about, what'd you say, 27 more? You want to do something for your pastor? Sign up for Bible school. You want to do something for your pastor? Show up for visitation. You want to do something for your pastor? Knock on a door. Invite somebody. You want to do something for your pastor? Find you a prayer closet and get in it. Stay on your knees on behalf of the pastor. You say, well, I'm in there. I'm praying for my daddy. You should pray for your daddy, Karen. But when you're in there, put one in for me. I need it. So tonight's message, we stand all over the house tonight. I'll try to be as brief as the Lord will allow. Just some things that the Lord give me. Like I said, Miss Wanda, it's hard to preach about holding up the man of God in your own church. It is. But it's scripture. It's what God put on my heart. So we'll share it with you tonight. Y'all good? Got y'all nervous? Listen, I'm not resigning. I'm not dying that I know of. I might be. I don't know. So don't get all excited and happy, or don't get all depressed, whichever way you line up. Somebody probably, I thought he was leaving. Thought he was dying. He's not. The Bible says in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, know who we're talking about, and listen, I am no Moses. I am no Joshua. I am your pastor, but that's what I am. But we're talking here about holding up the man of God. Who is your man of God other than your pastor? So the Bible said, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. And what's that word chide mean? Somebody jump in there. They complained, they contended, they debated with Moses. They got right in Moses' business, and they chided with Moses, and they said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. The people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is that? Thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children out and our cattle with thirst. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Can you hear Moses now? Lord, you sent me down there to get these people. We have walked this distance, and now they're out here, and they're thirsty. They're beat down. They're tired. They're dusty, and they're on this journey, and they're talking about killing me. They're talking about stoning me because there's no water. And then here we go. Moses goes to the Lord. And then it says in verse number 5, right after he said, they're almost ready to kill me. They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod. Wherefore thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock there, shall come water out of it. And the Bible then said that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now listen, the Lord is among us. Now if you are here tonight, you're saved by God's grace. The Lord is with you. I mean, Brother Scott, when you got saved by the grace of God, it was not some 12-step maturation process. Brother Varun, when you said, Lord, will you save me? Bless God, you got it all, lock, stock, and barrel. Amen. Right then and there, the Holy Spirit indwelled you, filled you up, saved your soul. And bless God, if you're here tonight, you should have brought him with you. Amen. Okay, he should be a part of every service. Am I right or wrong? Amen? Amen. He should be here. This is his house, it's his time, and we are the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. I am his servant. The Bible said he gave me to you because he said, I will give you pastors after mine own heart. Amen. So we're all here together tonight, and here it is. And Moses said, the people asked him and said, is the Lord among us or not? He is among us. Okay, let's nail that down. Every time we meet, the Lord is among us. Brother Ben, you bring a friend here and that friend's not saved. You need the Holy Spirit of God with you. We need the Holy Spirit of God here. Why? Because if that sinner is here and he's lost and undone without God, he needs to be saved. And how's he going to get saved except that the Holy Spirit be here? And the question is then asked, they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? To answer that question, the Lord is among us. We take into our text scripture tonight. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now I want you to get a picture of this before I read much more. I want you to get a picture of this. The people were commanded to get out there. We're going to take the battle to them. We're going to take the fight back to the one that's fighting against us. We're no longer going to be sitting back complacent doing absolutely nothing. We're going to go out and we're going to fight against Amalek. And here you got the man of God out there holding up that rod of God. That's the same rod, Brother Steve, that he used whenever he parted the waters hither and thither at the Red Sea. Whenever they were coming over the Jordan or were to go over the Jordan or do anything great for God, it was the rod that he had in his hand. He smote the rock with it. And now he's got that same rod out there and he's holding that thing up. And the Bible said that as long as his arms held up, bless God, that Israel prevailed. Amen. But his arms got heavy. That might be a good title for this tonight. My arms are heavy. So what are you going to do, preacher? I'm going to beg somebody to get in here and pray and help. The Bible said that his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar there and called it the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, behold, the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Brother Kippy Hamby, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. As you're being seated tonight, let me just say, this is nothing more than a plea from God Almighty through your pastor. It'll be a purpose message maybe to help you realize and help us all realize the limitations of the man. And you said, but you're the pastor. There's limitations to every man. And every man that will not realize that he has his own personal sets of limitation, that man's destined for a fall. The Bible said, let any man that stands take heed, lest what? Lest he fall. I am not above falling. I am not above a trip or a stumble. But I'll tell you this very quickly. If your pastor stumbles, what's it going to do? It's going to hurt the whole place. If I fall, guess what it's going to do, Brother Archie? It's going to hurt the whole crowd. Guess what happens if Amalek prevails against Moses? In this pastor scripture we just read, what's going to happen if Amalek prevails against Moses? That means that God's not all omnipotent. He's not all powerful. If Amalek wins, that means that God's people got defeated. And that shows the weakness of Almighty God. My God's not weak. My God's not limited in his power. Bless God, he's got all power in heaven and earth. And bless God, he told them what to do. He said, Moses, you get you some people. Moses goes down there in verse number 10 and 9. It said, and Moses said unto Joshua, get us some men and get out here. We're about ready to take the fight unto Amalek. Bless God, we're about ready to take the fight unto Satan. And when we take the fight unto Satan, you're going to realize, bless God, we're fighting with a wounded warrior, or we're fighting with a limited pastor. We're fighting with one that he's got a game spot in him. Bless God, you ever fought with somebody that had a gimpy leg? Let me tell you, every good sheriff had a sidekick named Festus or Buster or Fuzzy or one of them. Every one of them, Brother Tam, they walked with a limp. Every one of them. Let me tell you right now, if I were to be the high sheriff here, if Varun were to be my trusty Fuzzy or Buster Crab and Fuzzy, whatever you might be, guess what? He's limited, and guess what? I'm limited as well. I bless God, every Marshall Dillon needed a Festus. And I'm telling you, I need a Clayton behind me. I needed a Brother Earl. I need a Brother Kippy. And bless God, I need every one of y'all. I need a Brother Danny. And bless God, this church needs you as well, Brother Danny. And I won't give up everybody's secrets, but guess what? We have great deacons meeting. We've been back there time and time and time again, about once a month for 11 plus years. And there ain't none of us come out there with a black eye. Ain't nobody come out there bleeding or bruised. Bless God, what do we do? You say, what do you do back there in them deacons meeting? Bless God, we get back there and we laugh. Sometime, Brother Clayton, there'll be a prayer request go around the table, and they'll be coming around with tears out of their eyes. But let me tell you, bless God, every single one of us needs the other person in our life. You need a strong marriage. You need a strong church. You need a strong deacon board. You need a strong pastor. But every single one of us are limited in our own ability, except that we are limited by God Almighty. Bless God, I got a great God. He's unlimited. He's not limited to anything. But bless God, he's limited by my own frailty. Paul said that good that I wouldn't do, I do that. Paul said that I shouldn't do, that I do. So what I'm saying is this, Brother Archie, bless God, we have our own limitation, but God is unlimited. But bless God, my limitation, where they let down Samuel to pick up and say, bless God, bless my pastor. Help that man of God. Help that pastor. Help Miss Cindy to hold up her husband's hand. I know he's getting tired, Lord. Help him with this. Lord, would you bless my man of God? Lord, would you bless my pastor? I'm just a plea tonight. And if this message is for nothing else than to say this, bless God, if it purposes it in your heart to lift up the man of God in prayer, then it served its purpose. I hope that it will, and I hope that it has. The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. We're in a battle for this nation. We're in a battle for our children. We're in a battle for a generation that's coming up behind us. We're in a battle for the very fabric of America. We're in a battle, Brother Tam, for the local, independent, fundamental Baptist church. We're in a battle for these things, my friend. And if you can't see it, that's as clear as the nose on the front of my face. Bless God, we are in a battle. There is a spiritual warfare going on. Brother Derek would feel it up there at Mount Olive. You feel it here. I feel it here. There is an oppression against God's people, and it's everywhere. And bless God, if you're going to do anything, if we're going to do anything, you're going to have to help me. Are we all right tonight? I know this is, like I said, it's hard to preach in your own church, but that's what God said to do. Let's just get right in here. The Bible says that Amalek, verse number 8, Amalek fought with Israel at Rephidim. Do you think that we're ever going to undergo any of past problems? I think we'll face them all again. Not only do I think we'll face past problems again, the problem that your daddy faced, they're coming back. And you know what they're doing? They're bringing a buddy. Those past problems that were there, Brother Steve, they're coming back. We'll face them again. You say, well, we done defeated that enemy. Bless God, for every enemy that's defeated, there's at least 10 more hiding in the bushes. And bless God, the Bible said Amalek fought with them at Rephidim. And you know what? Sometimes the battle, it gets heavy, it gets contested, it gets hard. And as it gets heavy, and it seems like, Brother Varun, I can't do this, or you can't do that, or this church can't do it. Guess what? We shouldn't be like an Elijah sitting up in a cave somewhere and saying, I'm the only one left, Lord. No, say, bless God, I still got a Tam somewhere. Bless God, I still got a Brother Charles Bumgarner out there. I still got this one. I still got that one. And bless God, let's take the fight back to Satan and let's get back what's been lost. But the battle's going to be there. I promise you guys, if you think we've sit back on our silent haunches and done nothing except come in and get rocked to sleep by grace in the baby's arms of a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, bless God, the fight is before us. And we're going to have to take it to the devil. Franklin Graham has called this day, today, this day. I didn't mention it this morning, but I did pray for the president. You said, well, you need to keep the presidency out. I don't care if Hillary Clinton was the president or Obama was still the president or Trump is the president. The Bible said that they which are there, the powers that be, are ordained of God. Do you realize that? That if Hillary Clinton was our president, she would be there because God put her there. You said, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. The Bible said that God put up wicked rulers over the people to bring them into subjection. He would punish them and he would do that. He would bring judgment on a nation by giving them an ungodly ruler. And as he did that, ungodly kings and ungodly queens, but what did the people do? They suffered under that reign, but God allowed it to happen. The Bible suggests that when it said that the powers that be are ordained of God. Franklin Graham realized that when he said, we need to pray for that president. We need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for our community. We need to pray for this church. We need to pray for your individual unit, your own family life, your marriage, your children, your lives. The fight sometimes gets heavy. The battles get heavy. Battles get heated. And I'll tell you this, the battle is at hand. Moses said, Joshua, get you some men. Now, I don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us about this much about this man named Hur. It does mention Aaron. And a lot more written about Aaron. But have you ever heard much about Hur? A hymn named Hur. Ain't that something? And what about Hur? Don't worry about her. Hold up your side. But the Bible said that Joshua then chose and took with him. It says Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass that as Moses held up the hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down the hands, Amalek prevailed. It's not a hard picture here. So let's go back. I'll just go there in my mind, and you go there if you'd like to. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 tells us that we have an adversary. Who is our adversary? The Bible says that we have an adversary, that Satan. It's Jesus' arch enemy. It's the devil. It's the fallen angel Lucifer. It's in the end time, it will be the false prophet. It'll be the Antichrist. It'll be the beast. Brother Tim, they're all Antichrist. They're all against God. You said, are there any living today? Are there ever? There's Antichrist on every hand. I'm not talking about the Antichrist that will set up and try to rule and reign, Brother Archie. I'm talking about there are many that are against Christ. Look what it says real quickly in the book of Luke, chapter number, I believe it to be number 11. I'll just quickly go there. It may not be 11. I'll get you there in just a second. But I believe it to be Luke number 11. It is Luke number 11 in verse number 23. The Bible said, and these are the words of red, the words of Jesus Christ, 11 and 23 in the book of Luke. He that is not with me is against me, and he that is not with me scattereth. What is that, preacher? What I'm saying is either you're on this thing and you're in this thing or you're not. Either you're for the Lord or you're against him. If you're not gathering, then you're scattering. If you're not helping, then you're hurting. If you're not blessing, then you're cursing. If you're not exalting, then you're bringing down. If you're not doing all those things, then bless God, you're part of the problem.
Amen. You're right.
People can't see sin. And a person that can't see sin has been blinded by Satan.
Amen.
Brother Tim, you don't have to look too hard to see sin. If God's in your heart, it ought to repulse you when you see it. But if you can't really see sin and you won't acknowledge sin or name sin, then you're probably part of the sin. That ain't too bad, preacher. How bad's bad? All it's got to be is against God or against his word. Let me just say, even Jesus Christ's way got heavy, did it not? Did he not stumble under the weight of his cross? The Bible said they got Simeon to bear his cross on up the Calvary's hill. Did he not have to have a hard road to hoe? Did he not have a hard way to go? Did his hands not get heavy? Can you imagine the weight of a full-grown man pulling down Brother Archie against two spikes that would have been driven through the part of your hand right here, pushing down against those that was in your feet? Don't you think that was a little bit heavy for him? But did he not stay there? Did he have to? The Bible said, did it not say, Brother Tam, that he had 12 legions of angels that he could have called at any moment in time? Best God, one would have done it. It only took one to keep everybody out from going to eat the tree of life and staying in a fallen state forever. It only took one at the east gate of Garden of Eden. It could have took one, but he said he had 12 legions of them. He could have called them down and just wiped the whole hillside out, but he stayed there. I'm saying his hands got heavy. When the battle gets heated, just keep on keeping on. What's the answer, preacher? Keep on. Don't stop. Hold up your man of God. So here we are. Call out the adversary. Call him who he is. Name him. Identify him. You say, well, I don't know who my adversary is. If you don't know who he is, how will you defeat him? My military men here tonight, my people that served in the United States services, did we not learn about the enemy? Yeah, we did. Brother Steve, we learned about the enemy. And what do? You identify the enemy. If you can't identify the enemy, then look for his works. The works of the enemy are the works of darkness. Am I right? You might not know him per se, verbatim. I might not see him. Brother Archie may not be wearing a red coat. He might not be identified as a member of the enemy's force. But you sure don't have to look for and see his destruction. You don't have to look for and see the forces of Satan and the forces of the Antichrist works, because they're works of darkness. You don't have to look far, but bless God, you ought to be able to identify your adversary. If you can't identify him as who he is, then bless God, you need to get on your knees. Amen. I'm telling you what, I'm going to tell on me and Cindy this morning. I don't know if I got up on the wrong side of the bed or got a little bit cranky. She got out of the bed, next thing I know, we're going like this. She said, "Do you know what this is?" She said, "Do you know what this is?" I said, "Yes, I know what it is." Probably said it in a little harsher tone than that. No, I didn't say it in a harsher tone. I said, "Yes, I know what it is. It's Satan, right before church, trying his best to disrupt. That's all that it is. Call it what it is. Identify it. Name it. Claim it. Get it out of the way." So what happens? We have to talk to each other and apologize. Make apologies where apologies are needed, and then go on down the road. But I know y'all have never had that. Yeah. And when is it? It's usually at the most inopportune time. It's at a time when you really need to get a prayer through. You need to be a blessing to somebody. And then here comes Satan. And next thing you know, gnawing away. Happens to me. And maybe y'all live above that. I don't know. So you said, "Well, what do we do to the enemy?" Let's do what Moses did. Take the fight to him. Counter his attack. Look at verse number 9. Choose out some men to go with you. Now listen, I don't know. Did y'all ever choose sides in sports? Did you ever get to be the team captain or whatever? You got to choose sides. Brother Grant, did you get the one that couldn't run? Did you get the one that couldn't swing? Did you get the one that couldn't? No, you got the one. I know you've got knee replacements because you were a heavy sportsman sliding into the wrong bases and jamming your knees up, and now you got them replaced. Did you always choose the one that was? No, you chose the one that was going to help you win. Brother Tim, if a pastor of the church is going around looking for some good, strong, able-bodied men, I'm not talking about strong, able-bodied men that's got knee replacements and worn-out hip sockets. And who's he going for if he's looking for some spiritual warriors? Who's he going to get, Brother Tim? He's going to get those that's been in the prayer closet. He's going to get them powerhouses, the one that can hit from to the fence. I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about Brother Steve, the one that can get a hold of God. He's going to get some powerhouses into faith. Who's he going to choose? He's going to get that one comes every fourth Sunday. I'm going to get that one. That's not the one I'm picking. Brother Chris, you're the pastor now. You're the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. See, the thing is, I can roll this off on you, and I have to do it. Come here. Come here. Come here. Which one's you getting? You said, "Oh, don't do that to me. You wouldn't do it." No, that's why I'm getting you to do it.
I resigned.
You just resigned. No. Pick you some out. Hey, you're going to get them out of this crate. You're not going to get them from Sunday morning.
I'm going to go pray.
Why? Because they didn't come back tonight. You're going to go pray. Seriously, Brother Tam, who are you going to get? Are you going to get them out of Sunday morning crowd? Bless God, I want some help. Joshua, get some men. We're taking the battle to Amalek. Come on, let's go. Let's take the fight to them. What are we going to get? I want the one that comes every Easter. Yes, that's him. He'll beat him to death with an Easter lily. I just want the one that comes at Christmas. Now, you know I'm being facetious. Brother, would you be chosen? And I don't answer that. You're shaking your head no. You might be. You just don't know. Would you be chosen? Dean says, "You pick me, buddy." Look at Dean back here. Dean, I'll tell you this. You're not a member here, son. But you've been more faithful than most of the members that are. Not most, but you're among the faithful crowd. I would have no trouble calling on to Dean Johnson to say, "Dean, I need some prayer, buddy. I would have no trouble. I don't mind calling you out. I have no trouble calling a Clayton Anderson, a Tim Anderson, a Tam, a Varun, Archie, Steve. I don't have any trouble calling y'all. Miss Vicky, I ain't got no trouble in the world calling you. I have no problem calling Jerry and Martha. Gary, I'd have no trouble calling you. I would have no trouble calling most of you. But there are some people in here, brother, if I'm having a heart attack, they're not going to be my cardiologist. If I need some immediate assistance and help right now, spiritually speaking, I'm not calling them. I've got some of you on my speed dial. I've got some of you in my text line. I need a prayer, and I need it now. This just come from John Gallman. Please pray. And you get that text. I need to get a hold of this. I need you to pray right now. Boom, you got it. Praying, Pastor. Praying, Pastor. Why are you in my text? Why are you getting these calls? Why are you getting it? Because I got confidence in you. God's got His. You say, God's no respecter person. Contraire, mon frère. He chose 12 disciples. One of them was a betrayer by the name of Judas. But he had three of that 12 that he took with him where he went. That was Peter, James, and John. He had an inner circle. Why did he call them? Because he had confidence in them. There's some people in our walks of life that we should have utmost faith and confidence. You said, don't put your confidence in men. The Bible says better put your confidence in the Lord than in princes and in principalities and kings and all these things. But bless God, you better have somebody you can go to. Scripture support that. Going back in here. So what are we going to do? We're going to counter the attack. We're going to choose out an Aaron. We're going to pick out a her. We're going to find women and men of faith to call to the battlefront, and we're going to just take this fight to them. We're going to continue our assault on Satan until the battle's won. You said, but what happens, preacher, whenever the battle gets heated? We're going to press on. What happens when my hands get heavy? We're going to keep fighting. What happens whenever it gets too hard? We're going to keep on pressing on. Why? Because this battle is not ours. I said it earlier and even got a hallelujah out of Mary Doris back there. The battle's not ours. The battle is of the Lord's. Bless God, Brother Tim, this thing would have folded if it was built on your daddy. It wasn't built on Brother Feldman. It was built upon the precepts of God's word. And bless God, this battle belongs to the Lord. Brother Steve, we ought to keep on fighting. Amen. But I promise you this, I'm not fighting this battle alone. I know I'm not. Why? Because at times I just feel like somebody just swept me up in wings of grace. And Brother Tim, that's whenever somebody got along with God. On behalf of the pastor, somebody got a hold of God that day. It could have been a little Max that don't say anything, but yet he's quietly sitting back, having served this church, Brother Matt. It could be you just quietly praying. I'm telling you, somebody from time to time gets a hold of Almighty God. And when that happens, I'm telling you what, it feels good. It feels good. Why? Because I can't do it on my own. Moses couldn't do it on his own. You said, well, if God was with him, he could have. God was with him. God told him to take that rod and hold it up. He did, but Moses was a man. I've told you, I'm just a man. So what happens when the arm comes down? The Bible said that Amalek started to prevail and Israel started getting defeated. So what'd they do? They propped him up on a rock. Was that same rock that he just smote? I don't know. But the Bible said they all drank from that same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. Amen. Ain't that the Bible? The Bible said they all drank from that same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. They propped him up on a rock. I say they propped him up on Jesus. That's what I'm asking. Prop me up on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it gets hard, start praying. You say, was that what I'm doing? When you're propping my arms up, that's what you're doing. You're praying. So Lord, help him. He can't do this alone, Lord. It's bigger than he is. I've had people say, how in the world do you pastor a church that size, work a full-time job, and do this, blah, 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 blah. I can't. It's bigger than me. But it ain't bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. But I need Sam. I need you. When you pray, put in a word for me. I need the prayers and you need the practice. So keep it up. I know y'all pray. I know you do. We have prayer rooms that are rarely supported. You say, well, I just can't get here in time. The prayer room is where the power's at. That's where the source of energy's at. And if you don't support a prayer room, you should. You said, don't chastise me into that. I'm saying pray. You say, I pray at home. The Bible said, enter into your closet, pray in secret, Lord will reward you. I know the scriptures, but we have a prayer room before the service. Sunday morning, I started lagging around here. I started dragging around here many years ago. And I said, Lord, what is it? The Lord said, the only difference in Wednesday night and Sunday morning is you pray before the service on Sunday, on Wednesday night. Y'all ain't even praying on Sunday morning. That's when we put that little prayer circle in. Brother Tam been free. Been good preaching. You say, good preaching? Because the Spirit of the Lord's here. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. We need him here if we're going to accomplish anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mr. Macy, if you'll come back over, Brother Scott, come up and get us a song.